us here this morning by designation of the Chief Justice. Welcome, Judge White, and I hope you'll enjoy your stay with us.
Certainly.
First case this morning will be 061057. Oh, please be seated. 061057, Nipco v. Tyco International. Mr. Underwood.
Good morning, Your Honor. Ben, you reserve for 4 minutes for rebuttal?
Yes.
May it please the Court. This case comes down to whether Tyco's use of two rods to align the bushings instead of one rod matters. There's no dispute in this case that Tyco has a valve stem body that uses oversized valve stem openings. There's no dispute that it positions bushings within these oversized valve stem openings and holds them in place during the molding process so that those bushings are aligned relative to each other. There's no dispute that only the alignment rods that are used in the mold apparatus Tyco hold the bushings in such a position. The question then must be asked, why does Tyco use oversized valve stem openings? The reason that Tyco is using oversized valve stem openings is quite simple. It is because they are employing and using the invention in 347 patent.
But let me ask you, I thought you started off by saying the difference is one stem versus two stems?
Yes.
I thought the district court conceded that two stems could do it. Because, yeah. I mean, that didn't seem to me, and maybe I missed something, that was the issue before the district court. I mean, he gave that one to you.
With regard to valve stem replica, yes. But the district court went further and found that there had, erroneously in our view, that there was a disclaimer of that apparatus. The district court looked at one of the references cited by Tyco here, the Edward reference, and they cited to a statement made in the file record by the examiner indicating that Edwards taught a process of molding bushings and valves. And when Nipco, during the prosecution of the patent, advised the examiner, no, Edwards has nothing to do with valves, has nothing to do with bushings, but rather molds only a insertable valve seal into the valve, or later insertion into the valve. The examiner withdrew that rejection based upon Edwards. Now, that is what the district court belonged on to, or attached its importance to. That's what Tyco still maintains, even in its brief to this court, is relevant for this court's consideration as to, you know, the difference between two stem and one stem valve stem replicas.
And this is the difference, I mean, the debate in the briefs and in the record seems to be this is the difference between absolute alignment and relative alignment.
Well, there's been a misunderstanding, shall I say, at the district court level as to what absolute alignment is. Absolute alignment is the admitted prior art disclosed and discussed in column one of the 347 patent. That admitted prior art is where you have a valve body where a valve stem opening is machined all the way through and across the valve body. Now that requires precise machining, precise alignment, and is very difficult, tedious, and time consuming to do. That's the admitted prior art. That's absolute alignment. The relative alignment is what we see both in the 347 patent, bushings position on basically movable, precisely positioned rods, within oversized valve stem openings. And again, I come back to why does Tyco use oversized valve stem openings? It's because they align bearings or bushings relative one to another on the alignment rods that it calls alignment rods in its drawings.
Why does Tyco use two rods rather than one?
Why do they use two rods rather than one? I think the reason is because they just decided for whatever engineering purpose they wanted to have the ability to come in from either side. But while the mold is closed, while the replicas are in position, there is no structural difference. Tyco spent 6 pages of its brief, Your Honor, talking about the careful machining that it has with the platen, that these stop blocks are then attached to the platen, that there's careful machining and the acne threads wherein the alignment rods go in. And that these alignment rods go into very precisely fitted and positioned openings in the lower mold core. These structures are all made out of steel, and when they're assembled, they don't move at all. They're as if they were one rod once they are finally assembled.
Didn't the district court define or construe on the exact language, but the aligning function is going through one rod, or one or more rods going through all the bushings?
With regard to Claim 7, that's right. Claim 7, we believe the district court did so erroneously. Claim 7 calls for inserting a close-fitting rod through the bushings to align the bushings. And we believe there's no basis for limiting that particular claim element to a single rod. As this court is aware, all three of the claims, Claims 6, 7, and 10, are presented including, included, or comprising. All of those claims are open-ended terms. And under some circumstances, this court has held that when we receive the indefinite Article A, we're entitled to read that as one or more. And we believe that it would be an appropriate interpretation of that claim language to say a rod having a close fit through the bushings, or a pair of rod having a close fit of the bushings, each being extended through one of the bushings. There's no violence to that claim language at all.
Claim 6 says inserting a valve stem replica through both bushings.
Yes, it does. And we believe that two alignment rods coming from different directions, being held in very precise alignment one with another by the lower bolt core, by Tyco's own admission, is essentially the valve stem replica. We believe the valve stem replica is that structure which holds the bushings in perfect alignment within oversized valve stem openings. The 347 patent teaches it as a single rod put through the valve disc replica, and in the type of process they use two rods that go into the valve disc replica. But the structure, once the mold is closed, is precisely the same.
Here's my problem with the case, and I read through the transcript, is that I think the district court was trying really hard to understand. And on the question of whether or not you've got at least enough of a question to go forward to the jury on the equivalence question, it seems to me, and maybe you can point me, you have an expert report which you rely on in your briefs, and the expert report at least seems to make an effort to deal with the question of relative and absolute and the DOE questions. But can you point to me, in your argument before the district court, it didn't seem to me you were referencing the expert report. Maybe I'm missing something. But reading through the transcript of your arguments before the court, it seems like your comments with respect to DOE were really quite conclusory. Am I wrong about that? Is there something I'm missing?
We attached those materials to the motion for summary judgment. And to some extent, we relied upon it for our appeal brief here. But they were presented to the court in the context of the motion for summary judgment.
But did you ever integrate what the expert was saying in his expert report into your argument before the court? I mean, whether or not you attached the documents to the...
Your Honor, the argument that I just presented to you with what is absolute alignment? Absolute alignment is drilling a hole through the bushing or through the valve body so that they're absolutely aligned in the machining process. That's absolute alignment. And that's what our expert opined on. And we presented that to the district court. Presented obviously in our materials to this court here today. We disagree with the proposition that what Tyco is doing is absolute alignment. It is not precisely truly a bearing surface in the body of the valve. It is, nor is it drilling a valve opening or a stem opening that will tightly receive a bearing. No, it relies on oversized valve stem openings. That's the genius of the 347 patent. What it did is that it transfers precise machining of the valve body components. Instead of a valve-to-valve-to-valve procedure, it precisely machined the molding components. And by having molding components that are not precisely machined, within the sloppy tolerances that we see in the Tyco process, we see that Tyco is enjoying all the benefits of the invention. It's instructive to note, Your Honor, that the tolerances that we see in the interface between the Tyco's alignment rods and the valve bushings is a very, very, very close tolerance. We see a very close tolerance as the alignment rods enter into the openings in the valve disc replica or the lower mold core as well. But we see very sloppy tolerances, or it's maybe too different, and there's an angular gap between the outer diameter of the bushing and the inner diameter of the valve stem opening. And that is to allow the valve to cant within the valve stem openings. We have a valve here that Tyco produced to us that demonstrates that exact canteen that's provided for by the teachings and inventions of 347 and actually employed by Tyco. There's an issue before the court, I understand, by virtue of the objection of Tyco to that being here today. But if the court is interested in seeing...
Well, they are still objecting. You're still objecting?
Yes, we are, Your
Honor. Basically, it wasn't presented. It wasn't before the court.
It's being presented as evidence, not as demonstration. It was not presented to the district court.
We disagree, Your Honor. It was presented to the district court below. We have a transcript of the hearing that we cited in our submission, where I walked up to the bailiff and handed it to him, and he in turn handed it to the judge. The judge has seen this very, very bad.
Well, I think we can do without it. We have your submission, your submissions.
Very well, Your Honor.
Please follow up.
I would suggest, however, that Tyco's desire of wanting you not to see their own valve suggests that they do, in fact.
Let me ask a quick question about the blind socket before you
start
time. I mean, the court, with respect to the blind socket, said that its claim construction made clear that the socket had to be blind at the time it's called a blind socket. And in this case, that means it has to be blind when the bushing of the valve stemmer is placed in the socket. Except that. Did you make a showing that the accused product came within that?
No, what we believe that blind socket is not a structural limitation of the claim. First of all, blind socket only appears in Claim 6. It does not appear in Claim 7.
So if we accept the district court's claim construction, that question decided?
I don't agree, Your Honor. I looking at the Lepal case, where even though it's described in the preamble of the claim, it provides no substantive substance at all to the body of the claim. It is merely locational. It tells you where the bearing goes into position, or the bushing goes into position relative to the neck of the valve. And it really doesn't add anything to the claim body itself at all. So while we recognize the district court did make that ruling, we also recognize that this court is required to show no deference to that ruling as well. And I see I only have a few moments remaining now.
You want
to
say it?
Thank you.
Problem, is it?
It's quite, Your Honor. Thank you. You have no way of knowing, looking at the spelling. May it please the court, my name is Eric Kreitler. I represent the appellee, Tyco Valves and Controls, and its related companies. There are a number of appellee companies. The district court in this case correctly granted summary judgment of non-infringement as to claims 6, 7, and 10. There was no misunderstanding as to the distinction between relative alignment and absolute alignment. This patent concerns a method. It doesn't concern a product. It doesn't concern oversized stem bores. The method involves very specific structures and very specific actions. The specific structures include replicas, a valve stem replica, and a valve disc replica, and also a blind socket, all of which are required in Claim 6. And also specific actions, and the specific action that is common to all of the claims is inserting a stem replica or a rod through the valve disc replica and through both bushings to align the bushings. The 347 patent covers a method for relatively aligning a valve stem, a valve disc, and bushings.
And here's, if I could interrupt, just
yes, Ron.
Here's the concern that the problem I have. If you accept claim construction and we're left to a DOE and a factual question, you've got summary judgment. And it seems to me on the question of absolute versus relative alignment, even just that question, let alone the federal weight result issues that are raised, they put in an expert report, which is quite detailed, that reaches a number of conclusions. Why wasn't that enough, or why isn't that enough, to at least raise a question of fact that should have gone to the jury?
Your Honor, as to doctrine of equivalence, the court found that the plaintiff was precluded from alleging that methods of absolute alignment came within the scope of the patent.
And then he went on to conclude that Tyco's product consisted of absolute alignment.
Correct.
And my question is, why would the expert report, which is very detailed here, and the other arguments on the record, wasn't there at least enough of a fact question to put that before the jury?
Because the prosecution history is contrary to the expert report. Your Honor, the whole notion of absolute alignment versus relative alignment arose in the context of two office actions and two responses, both involving the Edwards patent as the reference. The Edwards patent involved the molding of a valve seat insert. There was a reinforcing ring, a metallic reinforcing ring, that was inside of the elastomer that was part of the valve seat. During molding, that reinforcing ring was held in place by two removable cores. It was exactly what Tyco does. Essentially, two alignment rods holding a component into place, the alignment rods connected to the mold, just as the Tyco method uses. NIPCO used the concept of absolute versus relative alignment to distinguish prior art valve manufacturing methods and to distinguish Edwards specifically. NIPCO said that in the alleged invention, the bushings were free-floating and that the invention taught relative alignment. They said that in the prior manufacturing methods, there was absolute alignment with respect to a fixed location in the valve body. And as to Edwards, they said Edwards involved precisely fixing the reinforcement ring, that it was not free-floating during the manufacturing process, and that it did not simultaneously fix the position of relatively movable parts. The court in the second response, NIPCO in this response to the second office action, said that Edwards taught against free-floating, taught against relative alignment, because the positioning cores, again, and very analogous to Tyco's alignment rods, were fixed with respect to the mold, and also said that it didn't teach the use of replicas. So the absolute versus relative alignment distinction was set in a discussion of Edwards. What NIPCO said essentially is that their method involved an assembly of components that was free-floating during the manufacturing process. The components would move relative to one another. If you moved the valve stem replica, that would move the valve disc replica, and it would move the bushings. The bushings, by definition, would always be in perfect alignment because they were in that assembly that was free-floating during the manufacturing process. Tyco uses absolute alignment. And the reason that we spelled out the various components that are involved in our manufacturing process is because there are multiple components that are used in order to hold two separate alignment rods in position so that two bushings can be separately positioned and aligned independent of one another during the manufacturing process. So that difference between absolute alignment and relative alignment, between components that are whose position is dependent upon one another and components that are aligned independent of one another, is what the prosecution history demonstrated in this case. And that's what the trial judge, the district court judge, relied upon in determining that the Tyco method was distinctly different than the method that was claimed in the patent.
Your method, though, does involve some give, yeah, doesn't matter, some tolerances. It's not an absolute fit, is it?
Well, Your Honor, the bushings are not press fit into the stem opening. There is space between the bushing and the stem opening. But that has nothing to do with the alignment process. Tyco does not align its bushings based on the stem opening surface. It aligns its bushings based on a number of external structures. An alignment rod, a guide block, a guide sleeve. In the guide sleeve, there are screw threads to hold the alignment rod tight. Those components all have very tight tolerances, so that in the process of aligning the bushing relative to the mold outside of the valve body, that bushing is held in position to a very tight tolerance. It's true that there's space between the bushing and the valve stem opening, But that has nothing to do with our alignment process. Again, NIPCO has suggested several times that the mere fact that Tyco has oversized valve stem openings is dispositive here, and it isn't. Stem openings that are larger than the bushings is recited in different fashion in some of the claims, but it's one structural element that's recited in those claims.
What's the reason for the oversized holes?
Well, there was evidence before as to how that developed historically. Initially, in Tyco's manufacturing method, there were going to be no bearings at all. And then Tyco put, and then Tyco press fit bearings, and then the engineers discovered that there was a problem with the flash. When they molded, there was excess rubber, and it had to be cleaned every time they molded a valve seat. And so the stem bore was oversized so that the elastomer would have some place to flow so that that cleaning wouldn't have to occur every time. That was the record below. And what's important here, though, is it doesn't relate to our alignment method in any way. And that, I think, can be seen by all of the evidence that is before this court and was before the district court in connection with the summary judgment motion. Mr. Underwood, in his argument, addressed one of the other elements of Claim 6, which is the blind socket. And he said that the blind socket is simply a reference point. It isn't a claim limitation, or it's not a structural limitation of the claim, and he relied upon Vaupel. But the Vaupel decision, particularly as it was in light of the discussion in the Eaton case, is very, very different. In Vaupel, there was a structural element that was not described in the specific. It was a breast beam or a breastplate. It was described with two different terms. It was not described in the specification. It was not illustrated in any of the drawings. It was not manipulated in any way in any of the method claims. That's very, very different than the blind socket in our case. In our case, the blind socket is shown in the drawings. It's referenced at least four times in the specification, and it in fact is manipulated in the claim because the stem replica is inserted into the blind socket. Clearly, blind socket was not needed as a reference point because claims 7 and 10 both talk about inserting a rod or the equivalent of a stem replica into simply a stem opening. But Claim 6 talks about inserting the stem replica into a neck opening and a blind socket opening. Those terms were not needed as reference points. Stem opening was a perfectly adequate reference point. The only reason for the greater specificity in Claim 6 must have been to require a more specific structure in the method, and therefore blind socket is a limitation very, very different than in the Vaupel case.
You don't think that's just setting up the environment for the invention?
No, Your Honor, because if that were the case, then again, the term stem opening, which is used in the other two claims, would be perfectly sufficient. The greater specificity in Claim 6 must have been for a reason, and it could only be to set up a structural limitation. Again, it's shown in the drawings, and it's referenced multiple times in the specification as well.
Does that really make any difference that it's in the specification or in the drawings?
Well,
aren't lots of things in the drawings and specifications that aren't part of the invention?
Well, in the Eaton case, this court commented upon or explained the decision in Vaupel, and that's exactly what the court pointed to. The court said that the term breast beam and breastplate in Vaupel, that those were not structural limitations. They were only in place to describe the direction in which woven material moved out of a loom. And the court pointed to the fact that in fact these structures were not described in the specification, not shown in the illustrations, in the drawings, and were not manipulated in any of the method claims. Now, there are some, we've now addressed a number of elements of Claim 6. As to Claim 10, Claim 10 is a means plus function claim in which, to a great extent, the allegations or the positions of the parties were the same in the court below, which was that it was a means plus function claim, that the function of the structure was, in fact, described in the claim language, and that the corresponding structure was a valve stem replica. Although the parties disagreed as to the meaning of valve stem replica, they agreed that that was the structure disclosed in the specification.
The valve stem replica construction by the district court really didn't help very much, though.
No, but the well, it does help, but no, it doesn't resolve the it doesn't mean the parties had complete agreement on Claim 10. It left open an issue which was decided in favor of Tyco in the court below. But NIBCO on appeal now, for the first time, asserts that Claim 10 is a step plus function claim. And that is a change from their prior position. It is an argument that was never raised in the court below. It's an argument that's flawed in several respects. The step four language is not used. There is an action that is recited in the claim. There is no reason to find this a step plus function claim. But in addition to that, this is an argument that was not made in the court below. And in fact, NIBCO in the court below asserted that it was a means plus function claim. That position was accepted by the district court. And so we have argued here that NIBCO has both waived and is stopped from raising this new argument.
Would I be correct in taking your argument to mean that aligning means you have to look for the structure for the aligning means in the specification, and the structure is basically a, well, could be more than one rod, but a rod that goes into through both bushings, and therefore the structure is not the same in your product? And if you look at doctrine of equivalence, you'd have to go further and say that the using two rods was the equivalent of using one rod.
That's correct, Your Honor. And clearly, in our case, using two rods was not the equivalent of one rod. The structure that's...
You have two equivalents. One would be equivalence for means plus function, and then another equivalence for the doctrine of equivalence.
Correct, Your Honor. But in this case, in the specification, what's shown is a rod that goes through both bushings and through all the way through the valve disc replica and holds all of these components in place as an assembly, which again is free to float during the manufacturing process and brings about relative alignment in the bushings in the valve.
Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Thank you. In response, I'd like to make one point very, very abundantly clear. There is no prosecution history to stop in this case. The comments that were referred to in the two responses made by NIFCO during prosecution all dealt with the issue of relative alignment of the bushings one to the other. None of them ever disclaimed or argued that a two-piece valve stem replica would not suffice to form the valve stem replica as claimed and the alignment means as claimed. The Edwards reference, that discloses, you're right, a seal that is inserted into a valve, but it in no way discloses a valve. It doesn't have a valve having oversized valve stem openings. It in no way discloses bushings. It doesn't even mention bushings at all in it. So how can it be any teaching or disclaimer by IPCO that it disclaimed Valstem replica having two pieces versus one piece when Edwards showed none of the relevant salient features that go into a definition or a proper definition of Valstem replica?
If the rod or rods have to go through all the bushings, in other words, each rod has to go through all the bushings, aren't you limited to a doctrine of equivalence argument?
If that interpretation holds the day, you would agree, Your Honor. But the district court below precluded us as a matter of law from advancing the doctrine of equivalence argument because of the misapprehension as to what happened below during prosecution. The district court found that there was prosecution filed after estoppel that precluded us from advancing the exact theory that you founded. We believe that was erroneous.
Claim 10, you'd have to have two equivalents. First, you'd have to have an equivalence of structure for the means, assuming it's a means plus function, not a step plus function provision. You'd have to have equivalence of the structures, and then you would have to say the structure is the equivalent. An equivalent structure is then equivalent for the doctrine of equivalence?
Yes, there's a case on point, I believe it's Nystrom. That says in the footnote that it depends as to when the equivalent structure developed. If the equivalent structure developed before the invention or after. If the structure, equivalent structure existed before, then the 112 paragraph 6 analysis collapses into a standard document equivalent analysis. There's really no analytical difference between the two. We're not suggesting. The suggestion that we have wholesale changed our position in this case is absolutely false. As a practical matter, every interpretation that has been submitted by NIPCO has more of a practical effect than exactly the same. Valstem replica is a structure that holds bushings within an oversized Valstem molding during the molding process, relatively aligned one with another. A Valdisc replica is a structure that forms the mold portion to form the seat for the fluid passageway within which the valve seat can seal the valve.
All right, so, thank you.